chapter 2 of Ruth, and we're going to look at the 12th verse. This is part of Boaz's response to Ruth's, I guess you could say, gratitude to the Lord, for the blessing that Boaz has promised to her, and her. We saw her, you know, wonderful submission unto him, and her acknowledgement of him, and her wonderment at the grace that is promised unto her. It's just too good to be true. Sometimes we see God's grace and we think, oh, it's just too good to be true. And Boaz, we saw last week, has told Ruth that it has been fully shown to him everything that she's done. And whether it was what had been said by Naomi, maybe he'd met with Naomi, or what it's been said by the people in the community, or what the Holy Spirit has shown him. And I tend to think that the Holy Spirit became a second witness to what everybody else was saying, because he said, it's been fully shown to me everything that you've done, and so that he knows what it has cost her and the price that she has paid. And so he comes to verse 12, and he tells her about a reward that has been promised her. I call verse 12 her reward. And verse 12 says, and this is the word, these are the words of Boaz to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And what struck me when I looked at this verse this morning was Boaz is the one that tells her of the promises, and Boaz is the one that tells her about that reward. It comes from his lips to her ears, and it's Jesus that tells us about that reward that we have and the promises that are set before us. And he makes three statements here about, I guess you could say, Ruth's actions and the decision that she has made. He tells about her work, and, you know, the Lord recompense thee for thy work. And he tells her about her reward, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. And he tells about her trust. So these are three things that he singles out concerning this woman: her work, her reward, and her trust. Now, this really has to be all revelation on the part of Boaz to really have a deeper insight into that work that she has labored for on behalf of Naomi, and it has to be a revelation of the reward that she's going to get. Who told him that the Lord was going to give her a reward for that work, and give her a full reward for that work? That's pure revelation on his part. It's a revelation of what she did. It's a revelation of what God will do. He couldn't have known otherwise. It just really struck me. And it also points to what Ruth has yet to realize. What's already hers. She doesn't yet realize that, you know, there's a full reward that's promised you. It's hers, and he's telling her about it. She just doesn't yet realize it. And he's beginning to just say, look at what's in store for you. So we'll look at these three things: her work, her reward, and her trust. The reward's going to come from her work, and the trust is on her part is going to lay hold of that reward that's been promised. So you have the reward in the center, and on one side of the reward is her work, and on the other side of the reward is her trust. And so it's sandwiched in between. You have a little sandwich here. On the top is her work, and on the bottom is her trust, and in between is her reward. Well, her reward is because of that work, but to really enjoy it, her trust has to lay hold of it. And she's already laying hold of it. So her work, he says, the Lord recompense that work. And the first thing that he tells us concerning that work is it's going to be the Lord and not man that's going to reward her and recompense her. It's the Lord who's going to do this. There's no way that man can really repay you or reward you fully. There's just nothing that man can really do for everything that you have lost and everything that you've given up. It's going to have to be the Lord. Only the Lord can do this. And I think one reason only the Lord can do it, besides the fact that nothing man can do can measure up to what God can do, is that only the Lord really sees her heart, and only the Lord really sees her motives. So only He can really reward her right, in the right way. Only He can measure her work, and I think He's going to measure her work according to His word. And doesn't He do that with us? He measures our work according to His word, and based on that, He and only He can reward us. And nothing man would ever try to do to recompense us or reward us can ever measure up to what we have in store for us in eternity. There's just no way. One of the things that Jesus said when Jesus was talking about who rewards, and I thought it was rather interesting, is Jesus tells His disciples that it is the Father that rewards. And one of the things over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4, when Jesus is talking about this, and I don't know if maybe the disciples or the people that were listening to Jesus ever really thought much about this. They probably did things with the expectation, and if you turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to look at verse 4, they probably did things with the expectation maybe that there would be a reward, but maybe it would come in this lifetime and it would be man that would reward them. And Jesus really says something in Matthew chapter 6 and looking at verse 4 that lets them know who it is that's really going to give them that reward. And beginning at verse 1, but verse 4 is what I want us to look at, He says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." There you have that motive of, okay, why is that work going forth? Why are you doing what you're doing? And Boaz knew by revelation that she wasn't doing that so men could acknowledge her and say what a good woman she was. She didn't do it for that reason. She didn't do it with any expectation that anybody would really compliment her on it or reward her in any way. And Jesus really tells in His teaching here, when you're giving, you don't do it just so that others can see you do it and you can, in a sense, receive something from them that you would consider a reward just by their reaction. So He says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues." Kind of gives you that visual picture that I guess there were people that when they went into the synagogues, there was this big announcement that went forth about what they were going to give. You know, as the hypocrite, it must have been in practice at that time. "Do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men." Oh my gosh, can you imagine how vain and prideful and pitiful that is? I want to make sure everybody looks at me and sees what I'm doing and what I'm giving, you know.
But several ways to do that, you know, think about it. I mean, to make a show.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of different ways.
I don't know if they really did that, but it might be more symbolic of just their boastful way.
Or making sure that everybody knows that's what I'm doing.
Maybe they put in gold coins or something.
So everybody could hear it, you know, or they made sure everybody around them knew so that they could say, and people being people would say, "Look at what he did, look at what he gave." "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret." And then Jesus says something here, "And thy Father which seeth it in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And so Ruth is hearing something from the lips of Boaz that she may never have realized before, that the Lord God of Israel saw what she did and heard what she said, and he would reward her. She may not, and I know in my heart, I don't think she did it at the very beginning of the first chapter of Ruth, made that decision to follow Naomi and leave everything behind. I don't think she did it with the expectation, I'm going to get something for this. She knew she'd lose everything. Well, Naomi, her, yeah, Naomi made sure that she knew that, you know, if you do this, you can't expect much in return. So she didn't do it with any expectation. And so all of a sudden, Boaz comes on the scene, and by revelation, he says, the Lord's going to recompense thy work. Only he can do this. Kind of reminds you of our study in Philippians, where Paul says to the Philippian saints that my God shall supply all your need. You know, that's part of that recompense for that reward. What struck me is when he says the Lord shall recompense thy work, I kind of saw that recompense as twofold. It could be an immediate reward. Her needs would be met. And in a sense, they are at the end of that day, because she will beat out that grain that she has harvested and go home and with that great amount of abundant food, and also with news to Naomi about the promises that Boaz has made. So there was an immediate reward here. The Lord recompense thy work. Well, he had already begun to do that. Like Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But there is also a future reward that he tells her about, and also, I think, an ongoing reward. We have three categories of rewards in our life. We have a reward that can be immediate, where the Lord meets our needs. We have a reward that is ongoing, and we have a reward that is in the future, that is an eternal reward. There is an ongoing reward here, I think, that she didn't realize, that the Lord realized, and that is, it was a reward where she would grow spiritually. The Lord will recompense thy work. I think one of the ways that he's going to recompense her is she is going to be changed by her experience. Isn't that what Paul said? We are all changed from glory to glory. He says that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Well, how are we changed from glory to glory? What are we looking at? We're looking at the face of Jesus, aren't we? Let's see, how does that... 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because what she doesn't realize is every decision that she has made here has altered her in some way. She's not the same person that she was however months earlier she left, when she left Moab. And as she labors in those fields day by day, she'll be changed by those experiences. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul says, but we are all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You could say, but we are all, and then skip what's in those commas, but we are all changed. Now what changes us is that look that we give to the Lord, that revelation that we have of the Lord, that way in which we perceive him and see him and let him fill our vision. We are changed by that. And so Paul says we are all, in a sense, changed in some way and to some degree. And God's ultimate desire, as Paul says here, is to be changed into that same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. And it is a change that is wrought, as he says here in that 18th verse, by the Spirit of the Lord. So one of the things that struck me is that has to do with that recompense that she's going to enjoy, or that reward she's going to enjoy, is an ongoing work in her life. She is going to be changed. She is going to grow up in him. In a sense, she is going to Peter says, grow in grace. I think Peter says that in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in what?
The knowledge
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So her contact with those maidens and her contact with Boaz and her contact with the people in the community, she's going to grow in grace and in knowledge concerning the Lord, so that that, whether she realizes that it or not, is part of her recompense, part of her reward. Ultimately, it's going to be something even greater at the end of Ruth. So the Lord recompense thy work. Now, that's the one who's going to do it. It will be the Lord that does it. And the Lord determines what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. And he satisfies her immediately, and he'll satisfy her day by day. And when we get to the end of the book of Ruth, she is totally changed. She is fit to be Boaz's wife. I looked up that word work because it says the Lord recompense what? Thy work. And that work just comes from a word that means to do something, but it means to do something habitually. To do something and to practice it day by day. So that it was something that she did every single day. And that's one of the hardest things about work, is the monotony of it, or the sameness of it, or the fact that I finished doing these things, and at the end of the day you lay your head down and go to sleep, and you get up in the morning and they're still there, and you've got to do it all over again. It's just, and so that work here, it is something that you do, but it's something that you do habitually, and she did it by habit, and she did it every single day, but I don't think she did it grudgingly, and I don't think she did it angrily, and I don't think she did it with any other attitude except joyfully. And this work really, I think, speaks, or I guess you could say it began first with her commitment to God. That's where it begins. She made this commitment to God, to serve God, to be faithful to God. And she made that commitment to Naomi at the same time. And the moment that she made that, she never swerved from it. That's where her work began in the first chapter. Your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people, and that's where it began. And her work then continued when she got into Bethlehem, and it continued with that daily care of Naomi. This is, I guess you could say, as Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, it was a work of faith. The Lord recompense thy work, and you could put in parentheses, it was a work of faith. It was a labor of love. That word recompense really has a lot of wonderful little meanings. It comes from a word, and I always like to look that up because it just kind of gives you an underlying depth for the meaning. The word recompense, and we usually think of it as, how would you define recompense just off the top of your head?
Being repaid for something you did.
Being repaid for something that you did. The root meaning for recompense comes from the word that means to be safe in mind and body. Isn't that interesting? To be safe in mind and body. Well, actually, isn't that part of her reward? Isn't that what happens when you yield to the Lord and you are serving him, that you are safe in mind and in body? You're protected in a way that you've never been protected. When you look it up in Strong's, it means, first of all, one meaning is to be completed or to make something complete. Now, you think of that on the part of the person that's going to recompense you or reward you or reimburse you for what you've done. Their debt has been completed and they've taken care of it. But also from her part, if she receives that reward from the Lord by faith, because he tells her about it, and she has to, at the end of this verse, by faith, receive it. If she receives it, then she, in a sense, is made more complete when she receives that reward or that recompense. It means to make, to be at peace. And once you take hold of what the Lord provides, that recompense for your labor and your work, the result should be you are at peace. That reward, whether she realizes it or not, and she's already begun to enjoy the recompense of it. Can you imagine, like, how she started out that day? Maybe there wasn't anything in the cupboards at home. Maybe there wasn't any food there in the house. And she was going out to get food for the day. And when she goes home, she is going to be going home with an abundance of food. Do you think she went home at peace? Yeah, that's part of that recompense. She has been rewarded, and the Lord made her to be at peace at the end of that day. And I just thought that was so precious. The other meaning of recompense is to make perfect. So I thought that was rather an interesting meaning that Strong's gives, to make perfect. That recompense has the ability to change us also. We are changed by that appropriation of what the Lord sets before us as belonging to us. Those spiritual blessings and those things that he shows us concerning himself, that are that revelation that he gives of himself is part of our recompense. That changes us so that we are made perfect or more mature. The other meaning is what we normally think of, to pay in full. The Lord knows that there is something that is owed to her, and it needs to be that which will fully balance out everything that she has lost. We saw last week everything that she lost: her mother, her father, her homeland. She came there with nothing. She lost everything. So that if the Lord is going to pay in full, everything that he gives her is going to be over and above everything that she has lost. And, you know, I remember, I've always known this to be true, whenever we let go of something of this world that the Lord wants us to let go of, we aren't left with an emptiness, a void, that he always fills it with something else. Much better, in fact, than what we were hanging on to in the first place. So she will be paid in full, so that when she feels, when she receives that recompense, she'll say, "Wow, I'm not empty anymore. I haven't lost anything. I've gained everything." The other meaning is to restore and to reward. So he's going to restore and reward her. So Boaz, number one, says it will be the Lord, the God of Israel, that will recompense her. And what I wanted you to think about is that her reward will be, part of her reward will be that growth that we talked about, because she's changed by that experience. And that, you know, one of the meanings of recompense is to make perfect. Well, what makes her perfect is that growth day by day, that being changed by day by day, that greater knowledge and revelation that she has of the God of Israel and the people of God, that is part of her reward, because whether she realizes it or not, the Lord is doing a perfecting work on her. And at the end of everything, she can look back and she can say, you know, that was part of how the Lord recompensed me. He made me perfect. He made me mature. And we look at all the trials that we go through and the tribulations, and we don't realize that, gee, you know, that's actually part of our recompense, because the Lord's changing us through those experiences. Her reward will be being at peace from without and from within. Now, she's going to go home that night, and she'll have experienced both of those things on a certain level. She will have come into contact with people that day and wondered, you know, maybe at the beginning of the day, how are they going to talk to me? How are they going to treat me? And how am I going to provide for Naomi? And she's going to go home, and she's going to be at peace from within, and she's going to be at peace from without, because there's everything's been smoothed over. And she knows when she goes out the next day that nobody's going to talk bad to me and nobody's going to treat me harshly. So I have peace from without, and when you have peace from without, you have peace from within. And her reward is promised by Boaz ultimately to be paid in full. And actually, it's going to be paid in full in a real unexpected way. She'll be joined to Boaz. And that's the greatest reward of all, to be joined with Boaz. And our greatest reward of all is not to have a little mansion in heaven. It is to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it will be through Boaz that she will begin to enjoy the full measure of what the Lord wants for her. It will be through Boaz that God will restore and reward and fully bless Ruth. So that's going to be her reward. Now, he doesn't just tell her she has a reward and that God is going to recompense her, but he tells her what kind of reward it's going to be. A full reward. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Now, he says at the beginning of this verse, the Lord is going to recompense you, and it's going to be a full reward that the Lord God of Israel is going to give you. I mean, there's this obligation on God's part to reward her, but it's a full reward. And the Hebrew word for full here is S-H-A-L-E-M, which is very similar to shalom, which is S-H-A-L-O-M. Aren't those two closely related? The word full means quiet or complete, which is kind of a little bit similar to peaceful. You're quiet and you feel complete. Another meaning of it is just. It's just on God's part. And peace is the foundation of a reward, and everything rests upon that peace. So despite all her labors and all her trials, she's already begun to experience a little bit of that quiet. She's had a taste of what that full reward is going to be like, because at the end of Ruth, it'll be even greater. And I thought about that full reward in the light of that peace, speaking of what we feel in our spiritual life, what she would feel in her spiritual life, and what it would feel in her daily life. Peace is on several levels. Peace is just because of the circumstances around us have settled down a little bit. And peace is also on a spiritual level, a deeper level. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall what? Keep your hearts and minds. Part of that keep is to keep it rested in the midst of times of turmoil. So along with that, quiet is a fullness or a completeness. And she knows that God will be just in whatever it is that he rewards her with, because a full reward means a just reward. And the Lord will reward her because he is just and righteous, and he will reward her because she, in turn, at the end of all this, is just and righteous. So it just matches perfectly. Turn over to Psalm 58:11 and look at what the psalmist says here in this scripture. I picked two scriptures, one from Psalms and one from Isaiah. So Psalm 58 and verse 11, we find this scripture that says, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. You know, there is this promise for the righteous. There is a reward. And in Isaiah 3, verse 10, Isaiah says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. You know, she's going to be rewarded based upon her doings. And there is a promise to God's people that there is a reward. What struck me is this is a bride in training, and the Lord is really completing her education here. She's brought to a place, or she will be brought to a place of completeness, I think, through those labors and those trials. It's a complete reward. And that not only speaks of what God gives you, but it speaks of, I think, what you have, the place that you have come to, that growth and that revelation and that knowledge of the Lord makes you more complete. And it's your trials and your labors, that work that you have done, that has brought you to that place. She's brought to that place of fullness because, as the bride will be brought to that place of fullness because of the fullness of Christ in her. You know, Paul tells us, till we all come to the measure or the stature of what? The fullness of Christ. That's part of our reward. That's the full reward, the fullness of Christ. That's the full reward for the bride. Reward speaks, a lot of times people think of wages earned. And here it's not wages earned so much as it shall be given thee. A full reward be what? Given thee. Is that grace? That's grace. It's really not works so much. Is the reward is based on God's grace, because he says it shall be given thee. The reward is from the Lord God of Israel. It's from Jehovah, who is the mighty one, and the Lord is the fact that she's brought into the family of God, because up until this point in time, it's the Lord God of Israel, but she's standing on the outside as a stranger. But it's the Lord God of Israel that's going to give her a full reward, and part of that reward is to bring her in to the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? So she's brought into the family of God, and that's where the reward begins. Ruth's reward's a full reward. It's if we were to take that and think about it from the bride's viewpoint, it will be being joint heirs with Christ. It would be laying hold of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the full reward. It would be that marriage that takes place, the marriage of the Lamb. You know, all of those things that we think of in relation to the bride, that's the full reward. And he tells her about that. And all of this rests on her trust, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, he can tell her all these things, but, and she's already, in a sense, he said, trusted in the Lord. You've already done this. Just trust a little bit more. You've taken this step of faith and trusted in the Lord for his protection and his provision. Just lay hold of this little bit of more blessing, a little bit of greater blessing. So, under whose wings thou art come to trust, and, you know, whose wings are those? The wings of the Lord. The wings really speak of, here literally, the wings of a bird, or it's translated large outstretched wings. And it's kind of a metaphor that's taken from nature, where the bird stretches forth its wings, and those that belong to that bird, the children, kind of run under and are hidden and protected under the cover of those wings. And those wings really speak, I think, of two things. They speak of protection and rest. She's already trusted the Lord for protection and trusted the Lord for her rest. When you look at the wings of the Lord, or around that reference in the Old Testament, and the phrase that is used most often in connection with the wings of the Lord is, under the shadow of thy wings. I mean, that's the phrase that's used in Psalm 17:8. It says, keep me as the apple of thine eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. So his wings guard and hide, but it's the shadow. The substance, we don't see it, but the shadow covers us, and it's protection enough. That's faith lays hold of that shadow. He says here in Psalm 36:7, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So that's under the shadow of his wings speaks of the shadow of his love. His wings are love. Psalm 57:1 says, Be merciful unto me, O God, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, and until these calamities be overpassed. So we see the mercy of God as part of the shadow of those wings. So she's going to trust in his mercy, she's going to trust in his love, and she's going to trust that that love and mercy will guard her and protect her. Yeah, that is good, because the cherubim had their wings outstretched over the mercy seat, and they looked down facing the mercy seat. So there's the shadow of his wings. And we find that. That's the work of Calvary. In a sense, the shadow of the wings of the Lord. And finally, I thought that wings also speak of God's power and his ability to protect. And one of the definitions for wings, I told you, was it means an overspreading or a spreading over. You know, that's what wings do. They're stretched out, and it speaks of spreading over something. And to me, that definition, overspreading or spreading over, speaks of his covering. You know, his wings cover us, and they give us a covering also. The other translation for wings, surprisingly, means an army. And I think that speaks of his might. I thought that was really a different Strong's definition. And the third definition was a garment. It can be translated a garment. And there you find his righteousness. So you find that overspreading or spreading over, and that's his covering. And an army, his might, and it can be translated a garment, which is his righteousness. Now, her choice is, this is her choice, thou art come, and that's her faith, thou art come to trust. And it means you've come to confide in, you have come to take refuge in, you have come to this place that you know by faith will meet all these needs in your life. She knew where to come, and she knew when to come, and she knew that this would be a place of protection. By faith, he said, and having done it early on, she did it maybe not even realizing all that it entailed. And Boaz tells her about this. This is what you have just done. Whether you realized it or not, when you left Moab, you came in to hide under the wings of the Lord God Almighty. You may not have realized it, but this is what you've just done. And she probably thought, oh, you know, I did it, but I didn't realize all that it meant. When somebody expounds to us what the blessings are from the Word, we think, oh, you know, we did it, but we just didn't realize what it meant. She chose to come to this place. And the last thought I want to leave you with, since that meaning means a garment and it means an overspreading or a spreading over, I thought about what Boaz says to her at the end of this, you have come to the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And ultimately, in the third chapter, she's going to come and lay claim to that promise of a covering in a deeper way. She's going to come to Boaz, who will provide that covering, and she's going to say to Boaz in that third chapter, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden. I want you to spread over me like that overspreading of the wings, and I want that garment, which is another translation of it, to cover me, and it is the garment that will bring me into a new relationship with you. Isn't that wonderful?